Welcome back to another episode of Fantasy End Zone. I'm your host today, Jake. You can follow me on X, Twitter, whatever you call it, LouisLewis5. That's LEWYLEWIS, and the number 5. It's also right there on the bottom of the screen for you if you're seeing this on YouTube. I am a lone wolf today. I apologize. The schedule with the guests, unfortunately, he got called into work. So, nonetheless, I still have to be here for you guys. So, I am doing this as a one-man show. I apologize again for not having my guest on. But, thanks for tuning in anyhow. And, man, oh, man, does injuries just keep piling up, especially after this week 4. I am currently recording the Jets and the Dolphins game just ended. I'm currently recording on Monday just because my work schedule. And so if there's any other news and updates happening in the Denver-Cincinnati game, I apologize. But again, I'm not doing this full time. I have to actually have my work schedule as well. On today's episode, though, I will be talking about the injuries, covering it, seeing what to make of it, really. My week 4 over and under reaction, talk about some games, my favorite, my most surprising. And today I'll give you a couple waiver targets for each position since my guest is not here. We got a lot to cover in such a little time. Let's get fantasy. I guess the biggest news right now is coming out of the Big Apple. Unfortunately, Malik Nabers has been confirmed torn ACL and will miss the remainder of the season. It's a major blow to the Giants, especially in Jackson Dart's debut. And he played pretty damn well. Unfortunately, he's going to be without his true alpha number one wide receiver for the rest of the season. And also, MetLife, replace your turf. Come on. They need to do this. I've been saying this ever since Aaron Rodgers torn Achilles. But nonetheless, even other professional athletes went to X, Twitter, whatever you call it, and expressed their concerns, such as OBJ. Dear NFL, I mean this with the utmost love and respect. We, the NFL, take all precautions in the world, everything else, when it comes to players' health and safety. Please, please, please get rid of the turf. Thank you in advance. I mean, since 2020, I mean, Odell Beckham did tear his ACL as well there. But since 2020, players like Nick Bosa, Solomon Thomas, Blake Martinez, Jabril Peppers, James Robinson, TJ Brunson, Juwan James, Kyle Fuller, Sterling Shepard, Wandell Robinson, Dwayne Smoot, Aaron Rodgers, Jaleen Phillips, and now Malik Nabers, all torn ACL or Achilles on MetLife Stadium. That's a lot of notable players. And just please replace this. Come, we got to do better for the player safety. And if I'm a guy in free agency and I keep on seeing this, I don't know if I want to go to any New York team just because of that. Like, you have to play that half your year, every single year on that stadium. And these guys are, you know, big deal players, and they're all getting hurt as well. But also today on Monday, Tyreek Hill, if you guys watch it, that is a gruesome injury He caught the ball, was going over to the sideline, getting tackled, and his leg just went completely sideways. Right now it's being diagnosed as possible dislocated kneecap. My guess would be there's got to be some kind of ligament issues and tears. I'm not expecting him back this season, unfortunately. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, but there will be more news coming out. It might be already out by the time you guys see this. But nonetheless, watch out for it. Other injuries, Darnell Mooney, hamstring. Looks like he's going to be missing a couple weeks, if not longer. Unfortunate for him. Lamar Jackson pulled his hammy as well. Did not return to the Kansas City game. And it sounds like he couldn't go back in because it hurt that bad. Even though it was a blowout game, it sucks for him. David Moore for Carolina, his elbow did not return. Cedric Tillman, hamstring, that might be a couple weeks as well for the Browns. Miles Sanders injured his ankle. Tyler Goodson injured his groin. Ricky Pearsall exited with a knee injury. He came into the game with a knee injury. Juwan Jennings, undisclosed. It sounds like he might be missing Thursday based on Kyle Shanahan's report. And I just seen that Bucky Irving is getting an MRI. It's been undisclosed so far that I've seen of what the injury is. It just sounds like he took a lot of beating because he's a small back and can't really take that much punishment. Other non-skilled injuries that to me is pretty football irrelevant is Joe Alt. It sounds like he's got a high ankle sprain. He did take x-rays. They are negative. If you don't know who Joe Alt is, he's now the left tackle for the Los Angeles Chargers, especially after they lost Slatter for the whole season. And now without their other star tackle, Joe Alt, that team couldn't suffer a little bit. Maybe that's why they lost against the Giants. But another injury to the offense line, Lane Johnson, shoulder, did not return for Eagles. So that, too, can be something we watch out for Saquon and Jalen Hurts going forward. Some of my concerns are, you know, the Lamar Jackson. At first, I was like, he probably didn't come out, or he probably went out, taking precautionary, game's out of hand. Maybe this is why he didn't go out. But now with reports of them saying that he couldn't go out or come back in, it's concerning because, I mean, they got a couple of games. They are 1-3. Maybe next week I let him sit because I think they can easily win with Cooper Rush at starting against the Texans. And then I think they have one other game and then a bye week. So he might be out the next couple games, depending on how severe it actually is. So please monitor that, as we will here. So follow us along. Ricky Pearsall sucks too because he was battling a knee injury going into this week. And then he must have re-injured it on a play, and he did not return. So it depends on his diagnosis with his knee, and he could be missing quite a bit of time if it's severe enough. If not, it might be a week-to-week thing. But then again, you got to take that risk. Do you play him? I played him in this week, kicking myself in the butt for doing it, but I lost a game match because of it. But nonetheless, it's something that we all have to look for. Let's talk about some of these games. I guess for me, my most favorite is the Eagles and Buccaneers, just because this game had everything we wanted. We expected a lot of usage, though, with Eagles wide receivers after they had a great game, I felt like, last week in Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown. Not this week. That is why you pay attention and listen. I had Devontae Smith as my sit of the week, and how did he perform? 2 catches, 29 yards. Yikes. And then our beloved A.J. Brown, 2 catches, 7 yards. Whew. He had 9 targets, but man, oh, man. Can you – I hope you guys didn't start him. But it's hard to not start him after a 100-yard performance the week before. Jalen Hurts, he's got to start getting more passing. I guess they're winning, so who cares? 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also added 62 on the ground. It's going to be concerning once they face a decent defense that can stop the run. How well is he actually going to pass? I mean, we've seen a little bit of it last week, but just watch out for it, I guess. On the flip side, Baker Mayfield, 289, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He's freaking amazing. He had 2 touchdown passes that were a 77-yarder to Emeka Ebuka, rookie star-studded. He came with 4 catches, 101 yards this week. And Bucky Irving, 5 catches, 102 yards, 72-yard touchdown on that. But that's something we might have to monitor for Irving, because I don't know what the MRI is revealing or going to cover, if you will. But that is probably my most favorite game, I guess you would say. Eagles did take that one, 31-25. I feel like Buccaneers have been losing a lot of close calls. I think everyone's most surprising game is the Giants winning against Chargers, 21-18 in Jackson Dart's debut. I mean, he went 13 for 20, pretty good, 111 yards is what it is for him, 1 touchdown. He did lose his top target, though. But this is what we want out of a rookie quarterback for fantasy. I guess a quarterback in general, having 54 yards on the ground and a touchdown as well. I think going into Monday, he is quarterback 9, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, he's quarterback 9 going into this week. Other performances is also rookie fellow Cam Scadaboo. He had a workload. He touched the ball 27 times for 90 yards total. Yeah, 90 yards total. So he's involved in the run game. He had 25 carries alone. So he is a workhorse. Singletary had 7. I think maybe their game plan was to slow this game down and come out the winners, and that's what exactly they did. Disappointed again, Joel Alt got hurt, Malik Nabers, damn MetLife Stadium turf. But on the other side of this, Omarion Hampton, 12 rushes, 128 in the score. He also added 5 catches, 37 yards. This guy, he's going bomb. He's an RB1 for sure, if not top 5 this year by the time he finishes. Quentin Johnston is real. I guess I got to stop being a hater. 13 targets, caught 8 of them for 98 in score as well. My main concern, though, Ladd McConkey, 6 targets, 1 catch. So far this year, he has 27 targets, caught 16 of them for 174 yards. Not exactly the excitement that we're wanting from a redraft second rounder, usually, he fell into. And, man, it's scary because he has not looked good at all this season so far. It's just been terrible. Looking at a couple other of these games I want to bring up, Thursday Night Football, Seattle 23, Arizona 20. It's a pretty good game. The kicker for Arizona screwed it up. Kyler, 200 yards, two touchdowns, two interceptions, 41 on the ground. Trey Benson, a guy that I told you guys pick up, he had only 8 rushes for 35 yards, but he did contribute 5 catches for 19. I think is a hard defense with the Seahawks front 7, but I would still hammer him away. I think he's going to be a good add, I guess. Possibly a league winner late in the season when we need him the most. Marvin Harrison, hey, he caught a touchdown. He mossed a guy. 6 catches, 66 yards. Trey McBride, he's getting his 11 targets, 7 catches, 52 yards. He's a monster. On the flip side, Ken Walker, 19 carries, 81 yards. But Zach Charbonnet, 39 yards and a touchdown. He gets a rushing touchdown. And JSN, 4 catches, 79 yards. Overall, it was a relatively boring game at the beginning of the game, and then it started getting excited toward then, especially with Cardinals coming back. A couple other games I want to just touch on, Commanders and Atlanta. Atlanta won that one. But Marcus Mariota has been relatively good with the ball. He had 1 turnover, but 2 passing touchdowns, 20 yards rushing. I still don't know what to make of this backfield for Commanders. Chris Rodriguez, 7 carries, 59 yards, and Jacory Kroski-Merritt, 7 rushes, 47 yards as well. They're both pretty much equal. Well, JCM had 2 catches, 10 yards, but nonetheless, it's still a toss-up, so I'd avoid that at all costs currently, unless if they specifically say we're getting X, Y, and Z this many carries. On the other side, Michael Penix came back from a terrible performance with a 300-yard performance. It helps when you have your number one wide receiver, Drake London, doing Drake London things. 110 yards, 1 touchdown on 8 catches. Bijan Robinson, I think he's got to be in talk with the number one overall player this year. 4 catches, 106 yards receiving. He also had 75 yards rushing and a touchdown. I mean, this is what you want out of a guy. Hopefully you guys took him as your number one RB like I did in any of my leagues. He's just a stud, and performing in the receiving game is huge. Let's just skip that. Let's go to the Jacksonville 1 against the 49ers, 26-21. After the game, if you didn't see anything on Twitter or Reels or whatever, you seen that Liam Cohen said to Robert Saleh, you know, keep my name out your mouth. Maybe some Will Smith in there might have been slapping. Who knows if he was actually close enough. I don't know. Nonetheless, Trevor Lawrence, I still don't believe in him currently. 174, 1 touchdown. Travis Etienne, though, that is a huge surprise to me. 19 rushes, 124 yards, 1 touchdown. I thought Bashaud Tutin was going to start creeping up and eat into his workload. Etienne had 19 carries, Tutin had 4. Huge difference. Huge difference. Etienne is their clear-cut number one for this week. Also, Brian Thomas had 7 targets. He finally caught more than one. He got 5 for 49. On the other side, Purdy comes back from injury, 300 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. Christian McCaffrey is just a dog. That guy is a monster. He's possibly number 2 running back this year with Bijan number 1. He had 49 on the ground, 6 rushes or 6 catches, 92 and a score as well. We just don't know what's going to happen with these injuries with Pearsall and Jennings. So it might be more McCaffrey going forward. We'll just briefly talk. Kansas City rolled over Baltimore. Baltimore's 1-3. Did not see that coming at the beginning of the year. Like I said, Lamar had a struggling game. He hurt his hamstring. Also, Derrick Henry was going on 8 rushes, 42 yards. Good yards per carry. Unfortunately, he doesn't get anything else in the passing game. He did actually have 2 catches, 16 yards, but it is a hard game for him considering Justice Hill just blew out. I mean, the 71-yard touchdown run did help him. On the other side, Pacheco is struggling badly. He had actually 7 rushes for only 35 yards. Xavier Worthy, he came back. 5 catches, 83 yards. Travis Kelce, 5 catches, 48 yards. But Patrick Mahomes, 270 with 4 scores. Monster numbers, and that is why he's one of the best of all time. Finally, Sunday Night Football, 40-40. Packers, my beloved Packers. How the hell do you tie the Cowboys? 40-40. But it was a back and forth battle. Jordan Love was my start of the week. So be sure to tune in on Fridays at Fantasy End Zone, where you get your podcasts or your YouTube. Bill, my co-host, and I, we do our starts and sits of the week. I feel like I hit pretty much all my starts this week, but Jordan Love was my starting wide receiver, or my starting quarterback, 337 with 3 scores. Huge day. Josh Jacobs, 86 yards rushing and 2 scores. He also had 4 catches, 71 yards. Romeo Doubs didn't get 1, didn't get 2. But he got 3 receiving touchdowns, 6 for 58 and 3. Matthew Golden also had 5 for 58. Big day for him, I guess you'd say. On the flip side, Dak Prescott, 319, 3 scores. Javonte Williams, 85 yards rushing, 1 score. And the one that's going to be replacing CD Lamb in the lineup, George Pickens. 8 catches, 134, and 2 touchdowns. Huge day for him. And if you're looking at who's going to be the number 2, looks like Jalen Tolbert. He had 6 targets. He had 4 catches, 61 yards. And Jake Ferguson, 7 catches, 40 yards, 1 touchdown. That is your, I guess, recap of some of the games. But nonetheless, let's get into our over and under reaction segment after we hear a word from the Podfather.
I know you're sad draft season is over, but just because the NFL season starts doesn't mean the drafting stops, because Fast Draft has the Flex 6 Frenzy. You're drafting 6 guys for the Sunday slate against 9 other competitors. It's fast, it's furious, it's fun. And as with everything on Fast Draft, there are no salaries. Woo! So go to draftfaster.com, get the app, use your host promo code for a $50 deposit match. Now let's go start drafting faster.
Yeah, go ahead and use promo code Lewis. It's right there on the bottom of the screen. If you're listening on podcast, Lewis, L-E-W-I-S for Fast Draft. You could face me and other opponents, I guess you'd say, throughout the world, United States, wherever. Be sure to download Fast Draft. So 5 players I'm going to do over and under reaction. I guess it's just giving my vibe for those players. Number 1, Josh Downs. Man, he is projected to be a sleeper this year. So far, his best finish is wide receiver 39. I think it was week 2 or 3. Not something we hope for when we heard the news Daniel Jones would be starting. We thought his value would go boom, and it went unfortunate for us and for him. He just can't be started anywhere going forward, and he's only been playing about 50%, 60% at most of the Colts snaps. While we were hoping a bigger breakout, unfortunately, that's not what we're getting. I am overreacting, saying that he needs to be either cut or on your bench for way later in the season, hopefully, if he can, I guess, progress. Next, Travis Hunter. What do we do with this guy? His ADP was 5'11". And boy, that is a big swing and a miss, in my opinion. Like, I am overreacting. He hasn't done anything that we anticipated or expected, especially being number two overall in the NFL draft. And if you really look into it, he's got same thing as Josh Downs. Top receiving or best finish was week one, 39. Since then, 78, 90, 47. It's just like Josh Downs. You can't start him going forward. If you're in dynasty leagues, I am sorry. That's not a good pick currently. You're biting it and you're eating the bullet for that one, especially because he's pretty much a top five, six drafted players for your rookie drafts. I just feel like he cannot be started anywhere currently, so I am benching him. In my leagues, I have them, but I advise you guys as well. Number three, Kyle Pitts Sr. I am in awe for this guy. I've been saying at the beginning of the season, if I don't get one of the top two, three guys, I am drafting him late in the rounds because Michael Penix and him are golfing buddies in the offseason, and guess what? It's really paying off because this is his best season since his rookie year, best start since his rookie year. So far in this season, tight end 7, 19, 20, and currently he is tight end 3. I'd take this guy all day, especially as ADP where he was at 1206. And right now he's number 8 overall for tight ends. I love it. I'm underreacting to him. He is a guy you should be wanting. Also, he's going to get a lot more targets, especially since Darnell Mooney will be out for multiple weeks. So expect a lot of playing time and a lot of balls going towards Kyle Pitts. Next, Alvin Kamara. Man, I guess I just don't know what to do with him. Overreacting, his backup has been more efficient than himself. His snap share has been decreasing little by little each week. And that's a big red flag for me. We want to have, a guy like him in all the time. On the season, he's low end RB2, ranking as number 24. If only his passing game could get more usage and more yards. I mean, how we look at this past week, he got 4 catches. So yeah, he was involved, but he only had 2 yards. How do you only get that? I don't understand how you have 4 catches, 2 yards. Terrible. But yeah, he's getting outplayed by Kendre Miller. Miller looked actually pretty solid on the ground. So be on the lookout, and maybe I'll be talking about him later on in the episode. Next, my last guy I would want to talk about is Jerry Jeudy. Overreacting, finishing as a number wire or finishing last season as a wide receiver 1. It has not lifted up to the same numbers. God, Flacco is what we thought we needed, just like Daniel Jones. And in return, it's been nothing but disappointment. So far this season, he's getting targets 8, 5, 9, but only catching 5, 4, 3, 1. On the year, he's currently wide receiver 54. Man, just like the guys I mentioned earlier, Hunter and Downs, you cannot start him going forward, and I advise you not to be playing him as well. If not, he could probably almost be cut. I would hold on to him, stash him if your bench is bigger, but I'm hoping in a way that either Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel come out and start playing. Next, we'll just do our waiver. I know the show is a little bit quicker than normal. I apologize again with the whole guest thing. But nonetheless, I'll give you two guys at each position. Number one, I think it has to be Jackson Dart. In his debut, he was solid, big game, and his rushing ability is huge upside. You know, he had 10 rushes, 54 yards, and one score on the ground. I already mentioned he was quarterback 9 on the week going into this Monday night game. And also, he's widely available, free in 66% of sleeper leagues. So I'm looking at possibly adding him. It's probably my number one. My number one quarterback this week I'd be looking at. I mean, I understand he did not have, or he doesn't have his big alpha receiver, but he only had neighbors for what, a quarter, not even, and he did well without him. It's not like he has to force a ball to him. Unfortunately, I think Russell Wilson already tried to do that and almost got his head taken off, but nonetheless, Jackson Dart, Adam. My number two quarterback this week is Matthew Stafford. He was my ad last week, and hopefully you guys paid attention. Last week I said Adam. He's currently, I think, number two on the week quarterback. Available still in 59% of leagues. He's been consistent this season, and this week he just blew up. He's quarterback two. He had 375 yards, 3 scores. His bye week is not until week 8. So you also want to look at some of these guys that are going into bye weeks or covering, because, you know, we have bye week starting next week. You know, the Packers, a few other teams, they have an early bye week. So this might help you get one of these guys and look down further. Or if you know that, hey, I have a quarterback on week 6 bye, look at the matchups. Maybe, you know, I don't know the matchups right off the top of my head, but maybe Matthew Stafford has a really good matchup in week 6, so you want to pick him up now rather than wait a week and he might be gone. Moving on to running backs. I think this is probably a lot of people's number one running back this week. I did say this last week. My guest, Steven, actually mentioned him. Woody Marks to pick up. Spend your fab on him this week. Available in 63% of leagues. Each week, his share has been going up, and Nick Chubb's has been going down. In week 4, he played 56% of snaps, to Chubb's 42% of snaps. Marks is currently RB6 on the week. He is part of the passing game and now a big part of the rushing game as well. He had, I think, 17 rush attempts, which is huge. And there's still no word on Joe Mixon besides DeMarco Ryan saying he's still not ready. Get Marks wherever you can. He's taken over this Texans backfield with a kind of a bad offense line, but he gets a lot of work out of the backfield. I'm pretty sure in college he was also a receiver that transferred transitioned to a running back. Number two RB this week, Kendre Miller. I'm going to just do it because practically he's available in every league, 93%. I'm not throwing a whole bunch of fab at him, but he's being used currently on a third of the snaps, but he's been so much more efficient. I think his role is going to increase over time. He got 11 carries for 65 and a score. So when they see this numbers, I think it's popping. They're going to give him the ball a lot more. So I would add Kendre Miller. But again, I wouldn't spend the bank like I would for Woody Marks. Moving on to receiver, my number one, this this is going to sound weird, but I really like Isaiah Bond. And here's why. He's been playing more and more. He was supposed to be a first-round draft pick, probably, in a lot of mock drafts coming out of college from Texas. Unfortunately, he had off-the-field issues that made him go undrafted. He's available in 98% of leagues. Last week, we seen a season-high 6 targets, but Cedric Tillman is out with hamstring and could be a long process for him to come back. And Isaiah Bond is a burner. And last week, we mentioned, you know, people to pick up like Woody Marks, Jackson Dart, Matthew Stafford. We said those guys, pick them up before they blow up. You know, I'd rather be one week early than a week late. Just like if you didn't pick up Woody Marks last week when we mentioned him, Jackson Dart, we mentioned him, Matthew Stafford. Now you're competing against your league mates with Fab or your order number, whenever your waiver order number. And if you guys have that, try to convince the commissioner to do Fab because it's so much better and it's a lot easier. But I would rather be a week early on Isaiah Bond than, again, a week late. And my other wide receiver is Alec Manure. He was my waiver target last week for the receiving position. Still available in 42% of leagues. So far this season, he's got 7 for targets. Once Cam Moore gets his head out of his butt, he'll get us more fantasy points, but I am currently buying again. I'd rather be a week early than a week late. I think once Cam Ward figures it out, Aiden Manure is going to be lights out. He's commanding a lot more targets than his partner, Kelvin Ridley. We all thought he was going to be a stud. So I am getting Aiden Manure in any of my leagues. Plus, Titans are going to be always in a negative game script. What does that mean? A lot more passing, a lot more attempts, a lot more throws, and expect a lot of red zone targets to Alec Manure. Tight ends. I think last week, my co-host Steven said Breton Strange, and he had a great day. He's available in 67% of leagues. He's been more productive than Brian Thomas Jr., Travis Hunter, which both of those guys have been struggling, and they're getting Strange the ball more and more. Back-to-back weeks of 7 targets, catching 6 of them in each game. Get Strange wherever you can. And my last guy, tight end, Theo Johnson. Available in 95% of leagues. He is currently tight end 12 on the week. This is the first week with Jackson Dart. And Dart checks it down to the tight end position, as we've seen, unlike Russell Wilson in previous games. He had 5 targets and caught one of those for a touchdown. And Malik Nabers is injured. So the next man up at the receiver position might be Darius Slayton. But watch out for Theo Johnson. He's a very athletic, gifted tight end from Penn State. Of course, they're all monsters there. But I would be looking into Theo Johnson. And then I had these all guys, you know, before my show sheet. A guy you might want to look at also is Malik Washington for Miami. Just because of the injury with Tyreek Hill, I don't see him being back this year, but you never know. I would just, you know, take a little glance, you know, maybe throw a dollar on him, get him. He looks explosive. He looks very fast. He has a lot of rushing ability as well. It's a ton of opportunities and carries. And then also, hopefully, in the receiving game as well can happen. But that is a wrap of today's episode of Fantasy End Zone. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to follow, like, subscribe, click the bell notification on your podcast, wherever you get it. And again, I apologize for not having a guest on today's show, but I will have Bill on the show Friday. Yeah, Friday. So tune in for that. We do give starts and sits of the week. So make sure you tune in to Fantasy End Zone wherever you get your podcast. Until then, I'll see you fantasy heads later. Peace.
From the Podfather to you, I deeply appreciate you tuning in. And many ask, what can I do? What can I do to help support the hosts, the research they do, the production costs? Go to playerprofiler.com, Dynasty Deluxe, World Famous Draft Kit, Rankings, DFS Dominator, and of course, Data Analysis. Subscribe to any one of those, and you support all of us and take Player Profiler to the moon.